Welcome to the Fast Cars, Fast Girls podcast with Abby and Molly.
All right, everyone, we have two more interviews for you to hear. The first one is with James Davison, who's the driver of the number 33 Honda for AJ Foyt and Bird Hollinger Ballardi Racing. And the second interview is with Simon Pagenaud, the driver of the number 22 Chevy for Team Penske. They both were recorded in the IndyCar Nation garage, so there might be a little feedback. And fun fact, during Simon's interview, there was actually Catholic Mass going on during IndyCar ministry. Hope you enjoy the interviews. We'll be dropping an episode on Wednesday discussing everything that happened over qualification weekend and looking ahead to the Indianapolis 500. Thanks for listening. Bye.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for coming out. Good morning.
Well, really.
I'm Abby and that's Molly. We're from Fast Cars, Fast Girls. And today we have with us James Davison, who has kind of an interesting history here with the Indianapolis 500. So, James, I'll just hand you the mic and kind of let you give everybody a rundown of your previous three, this is your fourth time, yes? Okay, yes. Of your previous three times, because I don't think a lot of people are aware of kind of your story.
Well, good morning, everyone. So I did Indy Lights back in 2008 and 2009. I drove for Sam Schmidt. Had a so-so season. I didn't finish too well in the points, but I got a pole, a win, and a second place, so at least showed I had some potential, which then helped me get a ride with Vision Racing in 2009, Tony George's now defunct team. And yeah, we had a break for a year. I mean, when I was doing Indy Lights, firstly, there were like 28 cars at St. Pete, Freedom 100, you know, this bucket would be what, 7 to 10 now. Not discrediting the competition at all, because it does look very good these days. But yeah, the car count was big when I did it. And we had a very good season, finishing second in the points between the two Andretti cars and ahead of the Schmidt cars. And it was quite unexpected, I think, for everyone. So it's the kind of year that I needed to propel my career. And I was racing against James Hinchcliffe, J.R. Hilton, Charlie Kimball, Sebastian Spedra, a few other drivers that have graduated to IndyCar. But ultimately, after that year, I didn't have the break or the funding behind me approved to IndyCar that I needed to basically enjoy a full-time career. I had basically 3.5 years off racing full-time, just coaching, and I was actually helping Milk Aduno at some point, Dale Coyne Racing. And that ended up helping me, because I was around Dale the whole year, and you could see that I really wanted it. I was all in to be an IndyCar driver. So a few years later, 2013, one of these seats opened up through some road courses, and I made my debut in IndyCar at Mid-Ohio in 2013. So I was Justin Wilson's teammate, and I'd always maintained, for a rookie, if you could go into IndyCar with one of the mid-range teams and your teammate could be Wilson or Bourdais, you're in one of the best positions, because you can just learn so much off them. The car's going to be right, or 90% sorted out. So yeah, I had a good debut at Mid-Ohio. I basically qualified and finished midfield. It sounds average, but it's so competitive, you know, and when you're a rookie, there's, you know, you do, I think, want to leave a bit of margin on the table and not crash it, because you've got to, aside from that just being not what team owners want to see, you've got to just ensure that you're out there running around and finishing the race and gaining experience. So yeah, it was actually a pretty challenging race. The race went green all 90 laps, so of course I didn't have race fitness under my belt, like 10, 15 seasons of IndyCar, let alone being two-thirds of the way through the year. But I managed to hold on and finished ahead of some respectable drivers. And it's kind of what I needed. And that helped me then move and into doing my first Indy 500 the next year in 2014 with KV Racing. So I was the 33rd entry at the last moment. We were a short program, so that meant we only got one engine and limited sets of tyres, so we couldn't start on Monday, Tuesday or Wednesday. We had to start like Thursday afternoon and then do Fast Friday and then straight into qualifying. So it was a very budget-restricted, conservative program, and because there were only 33 cars, there was no need to really risk too much. You know, you were going to make the race. But yeah, I think we started 28th and finished 16th. I was up to about 13th and just kind of got in the wrong hole on the final restart and fell back a few spots. So that was a really good result for us. We were never going to win. You know, it was just when you go up against the best teams and everyone's running full month and so on, you've got to have your expectations intact. So anywhere close to the top 10, or in the top half of the field, was a great result for us. So we got that, and we just needed to finish the race. I've been racing sports cars also full-time in 2014, 15, 16, so I've driven three Daytona 24 hours. I got the pole position in GT in 2015. And also I've been racing in the Pirelli World Challenge, so they race on many IndyCar weekends, especially street courses and circuits like Barber and Mid-Ohio, Road America. So that kept me around IndyCar, and it's, you know, it's just as competitive, you know, that sports car racing is, it's full of drivers that could have been IndyCar drivers if there were more seats, kind of thing, you know. It's very competitive. So that was good for my, you know, experience and so on, just staying current on my steering wheel. I did do the Indy 500 again in 2015, last minute with Dale Coyne. I jumped in the car on Wednesday practice, then had to leave and go to Canada for 4 days to do a sports car race I contractually had to do. So Tristan Bodier jumped in the car, qualified it, and then I got back in the car on Monday. So yeah, I didn't even qualify into the race. I wanted to, but I just couldn't. So I had to start 33rd, got halfway through the field, and then yeah, we got involved in a pit lane incident, which was very unfortunate. All three Dale Coyne cars. But showed some performance there that I needed to. And then the 100th running, I didn't do that because I had, again, sports car contractual obligations, so that was frustrating. Pirelli World Challenge Series has got races on the qualifying and race weekend of the Indy 500, and they do again this year. So it's kind of a blessing in disguise that I'm not doing that anymore, because ultimately, Indy 500 is where I want to be. And yeah, I want to race full time, but Indy 500 is, you know, the real deal. I thought I was going to have a ride in advance for last year's race, but with the limited engines, supply of engines from Honda, basically any team that ran Honda power plants couldn't get an extra Honda engine. And then any team that was a Chevy team didn't have any chassis or cars with their engines. So it was one or the other that prevented there being more than 33 cars. So that was definitely frustrating. But then of course Sebastian Bourdais crashed and it turned into the biggest career break of my life. Basically, under very unfortunate circumstances, I got into his backup car. It wasn't as quick as his primary car, but the team had the car very sorted. It was fast and handled well. And I started 33rd again. I didn't qualify a car into the race again. And so, I mean, talk about making it in by the skin of your teeth every single time. I've done it. Had the race that I needed to, just capitalized on the equipment and the team's performance, and yeah, we went from 33rd to first. We were in the top five with 15 laps to go, final restart, all bets are off. If you want to win it, you got to go for it, it's not going to fall in your lap. And just got involved in a pile up there. I think we've seen it happen before, and it's going to happen again. You know, it's just it's what you got to do sometimes. It's kind of like no regrets with that, because I could do the race another 10, 15 times, but I don't know how many times I'll ever be in with a chance to win the race. So you've got to leave no stone unturned when the opportunity presents itself, because had, you know, it worked out, I had a chance of winning it, but it didn't, and I'm one of many drivers to come up short. You know, here I am again to try again. But basically, straight after that race, I had Jonathan Thirds approach me and basically say, "Hey, look, that was a really good performance, and we'd like to join forces." Instantly, I had the kind of required sponsor support behind me to get a ride in advance. So finally, some establishment. So along with Jonathan Thirds and our other partners, Bilotti, and Brad Mollinger here, who owns a quarter of the Williams Formula One team. We put a program together with AJ Foyt. Obviously, we showed very good form so far this year. And we're running competitively right now. We want to be stronger, but it's very challenging for the one-off Indy entries to be able to be ahead of full season entries. You know, all the crews have got to create some chemistry and working relationship just from cold turkey, stone cold beginning. And we did test as well, because there's going to be a shortage of parts from Dabara. So a lot of teams, obviously Munoz, Stephen Wilson, Connor Daly, I, and a few others did test here 2-3 weeks ago, just due to those elements. So behind the scenes, that's what you face. But with time, we're getting there and we're making progress with the car. And the main thing with Indy, with these practice days, is you've got to manage your baby, your car. You know, you've got to really look after it. Because if you crash it, your backup car, you're not going to have as good a gearbox and uprights, all the things that spin, rotate in the car to create straight line speed, just all the best of parts on the car that all add up to speed. Your backup car's never going to have that. So you really got to, at all costs, not put your equipment at risk. So far we've, been on the edge of that, which I think is what it's all about, of, maximizing what you got, but not going over it. And we have done some more work overnight again, and we're curious to see what we can come out of the box with today.
Now, we're excited to see how you do this year, and I think this is the earliest you've ever known that you're going to have a ride, which is, I think you're the only driver that can say that in this field this year, which is pretty impressive. And for those of you who aren't familiar with James Davison, he actually led some laps in last year's Indy 500, which we interviewed him in November on our podcast, and I remember you said that was one of your favorite memories of your career, but that was just very cool. And another fun fact that you might not know about him is in 2017, he led laps in an IndyCar race, a NASCAR race, and a sports car race. So I think it's pretty fair to say that you can drive just about anything. So we are excited to see how you do this year. Now, it seemed yesterday you were walking through the pits. Did you guys have some issues with the car yesterday? It seemed like you guys were kind of, just tooling around some things, kind of tightening things up, or was that just kind of standard business?
It's pretty standard. Basically, these cars are so sensitive to all the components on them, so the ride height of the car, the rake, what the ride height of the car is at the front relative to the rear is what the rake is. It changes the balance of the car, it changes how much drag or downforce the car has, what spring rates you've got, what cross weight you have in the car with the different spring rates in there. oh God, there's just literally 10, 20 elements and they've all got to go together. And there's 1,000 variables on top of condition change, wind, temperature, tire wear, fuel load. And it's like engineering an aeroplane, honestly. You can be out to lunch by just the smallest margin. And especially with this new car, following in traffic, it's so hard. I mean, if you're watching the screens or just watching out live, passes are happening, but people are lifting and letting each other go. But the real reality is that 90% of us are out there and we can't pass. You know, you lose the front end in the corners when you get behind a car. So obviously that's great in a straight line, you get a huge slipstream. But then in the corners, you've lost a whole bunch of downforce and off your front wing, and the front end just wants to wash. And so you've got a lift, so you don't understeer up into the wall. And then it's hard to create forward momentum to then capitalize on the slipstream in straight line. And so with this car, it's so hard to follow. And everyone is pulling their hair out about it. I'd say about 90% of the field is. There's a couple of cars out there that have nailed it. But then again, you could put your car on the track today with these cooler temperatures, and then it'll handle completely different. And it was perfect yesterday. So yeah, the window is really tough. And basically, yeah, teams will tow their cars from the pit lane back to the garages, put them on the scale pad and just check all the corner weights are right, check the toes and cambers, because if they're just out a little bit, it'll just throw your whole setup philosophy and all the work you've been doing out the window. So sometimes, yeah, you want to double check that. Also, we started off on race setup and then we did some qualifying simulations. So you've got to change the car completely, because when you run out there and qualifying, you trim the downforce out and you don't need as much front grip because you're not following other cars. So the setup's just completely different. So you're going to see that happening with a lot of cars, a lot of teams.
Well, I know you've got a driver's meeting to go to, and you're talking about serious stuff. So how about a fun question or so? Oh, and I just left one. It's still early. I only had a cup of coffee. What is one of the things that you do when you're getting ready and you're going into a race to really get yourself focused?
To be honest, I've gained enough experience now that I just feel I can mentally discipline myself to just not get nervous or apprehensive or overthink anything. I just like to show up like it's any other day. Also on race day here, I remember I did my first Indy 500 and you have no idea what to expect and you're definitely nervous and apprehensive. But then once you gain some experience with anything in life, you then know what to expect. And yeah, if you have a tremendous amount of experience, you know, you should be able to just draw off that and use it to your benefit. So I just don't overthink things. I know that the result's gonna be what it'll be. So let's say like my worst nightmare, we don't qualify for the race tomorrow. But if I know that my team and I maximize everything we could, then I have no regrets, you know what I mean? That's what it's meant to be. Or if we ended up on pole, well, yeah, we maximize everything we had. And, you know, the race of gods play the way, sometimes that comes into play. So yeah, I don't overthink things, and it's just a byproduct of having a lot of experience.
Yeah, I think that's very important. And then for those of you who don't know, we also like to ask our guests something that you might not know about them. My favorite thing that you interviewed you last time is that he loves to surf, and that you take your friend's dog with you. I mean, he doesn't like surf with you, but he'll paddle, that's what it is, okay, yeah. So paddle, sorry, it's early, I haven't had any coffee yet.
Yeah. Oh, I lived in Miami. I did live in Indianapolis for 7 years. I moved here in 2006, and Will Power and I actually lived together at some point. And the first time we ever went to the race, both of us went to our first Indy 500 in 2006, we were sitting in short shoot, actually. But yeah, since then I've moved away and I've found a good home in Miami. I love the weather and the internationalism and the water. And yeah, just doing many water sports down there, so paddleboarding, jet surfing, which is basically a surfboard with an engine in it. Typical America, they find any way possible to burn fuel. so we do that, we go wakeboarding off the back of boats, and oh my god, it's like literally just like living in paradise down there. It's so good. And I mean, I'm not partying on South Beach, I don't care to do that too much. It's a good training environment. And yeah, one of my friends, guy called Gustavo Yuckman, he raced Indy Lights for 4 years actually. He has an El Labrador, and yeah, he jumps on the paddle boards with us. And, just has an incredible ride down there. So yeah, Ed Jones lives down there also. So he and I, coincidentally, lived in the same building last year, and then we were teammates at the 500. So probably out of all the IndyCar drivers, he's my best friend. Along with Will Power, but obviously he's in a different life stage, married with kids, doesn't live in the same city, so we're not as close, just naturally, that's what happens. But yeah, Ed and I have a lot of fun down in Miami.
Yeah, I bet. You know, Miami's beautiful. Do you scuba dive or anything?
No, but I've done spear fishing and so on in Australia. The water's cold there, so I'm never really used a wetsuit, but yeah, in Miami. Yeah.
All right, well, I think we're gonna wrap it up so we can let you get to your driver's meeting. So James, we just wanna say thank you again. Let's give him a big round of applause. Thanks so much for being here in the IndyCar Nation Garage.
Helicopter lands. We play there every night, and he loves it. He's good. He's the best dog I've ever had, actually. It's been fun.
All right. So it's been a stressful weekend so far. How do you de-stress after days like yesterday?
It's stressful because of the results that you expect. But really, the action of driving is the same as usual. You shouldn't get stressed out, but you always do somehow. And it's Indy. I think everybody on the team gets more stressed out than any other races. There's a lot of tension because it's so important to us. But de-stressing, you know, the best thing for me to do is just go back to my model, stay with Amy and Norman, just talk about everything but racing. And we go to dinner, and then we relax, just watching a movie or watching TV is enough for me. I go to bed. It's all about racing at the moment.
I mean, coming home to the dog is probably one of the greatest feelings ever. So, since we are in Indy and this is kind of a big race, what's your favorite part of the Indy 500?
Favorite part is for me, it's actually the order of tradition before the race starts, the national anthem, the flyby, flyover, it is moment to me is magic. Seeing the amount of people in the grandstand and your guys' support is very special. I think it's like, I've never seen an event like this before, so it's every year actually. The only thing that's funny is every year when you come back as a driver, you get more stressed out. The first year, you don't really know what's going on. It's just, okay, you take it in, you take it in. And every year, it's like more magical. It's becoming more magical. And I think TK said the same thing. I think by the end of your career, when you've done it 10 times, it's just the most stressful moment of your life.
All right, well, I got the high sign already that we're running out of time. So our last question and our favorite question to ask drivers is, what is a hidden talent or a special skill that you have that not a lot of people know about?
Wow.
Yeah, that was a short clip, you know. I have to say, it didn't last very long. So. But hidden talent. Yeah, I got a good one. I think you know Donald Duck?
Yes.
It's Donald Duck? I talk his language.
What are we doing? Yeah, you asked me that question.
Come on. Wait, you asked me a question?
Well,
a quick question. Like, I can't talk too long.
A quick question for Donald Duck. What's
about
it?
That took a lot of training.
A lot of training.
It shows.
It shows. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
All right, can you say, I'm Sunny Dashner,
you're
one of
the
best girls.
Are we recording?
Yeah, we are.
All right. What is it?
It's fine.
All right, so it's Simon Pagenaud, and we're on Fast Girls, Fast Girls.
Oh, we got a few minutes, I believe, to sign up, Andy. Ah, no, I got so excited. All right, what's your favorite thing to do, Andy, besides racing?
So, I used to live here. You know, I used to live in a village of West Glen up north. I used to love it here. Just the town developed so much while I was here. I was here from 2006 to 2015. Made a lot of good friends. Great restaurants. My favorite thing to do, I used to love going, oh man, how is it called? When you shoot people. Paintball. Shoot people.
That's called murder.
I have a lot of friends, couple friends. So, yeah, we paint. So. There's a place up north we used to go to with Will and Power and some of the drivers we used to go to and play paintball. Yeah, that was fun. I really had a good time doing that.
Pray for all the people here.
Besides, most people enter their parents, we take our parents out of it. Who is the most influential person in your life?
That's a good question. I think, you know, in my life I've had the chance to meet important people for my journey, right? It's like, and I think we all like that. I met one of the first very influential person was actually the head of Renault France. Renault, you know, the manufacturer, helped me tremendously to go up to the next level in my career. When I came here, I met Derek Walker, who owned Team Australia, Walker Racing, very influential. We used to spend hours in his office talking about how we're going to make the car better. But he formatted me to be the perfect Penske driver without me even knowing it. So that was because Derek actually used to run Penske at a certain time before Cedric. So he knew exactly what was needed. And then Will went to Penske. And I was his second protege, so that worked out pretty good. And then Jim DeFerrin to me still is my mentor. I would say we talked 4 days ago. He's watching every day what's going on, and on the driver's standpoint, he's been the one that has formatted me the best with technical aspect of the car mentor approach, and being politically correct. within the team too. That's something, you know, we have different facets of our jobs, really. It's the driving part, there's the sponsor part, the partners, and the relationship with the team, the engineers, the crew, the management, and it's a whole. And that's what makes you a great driver. So Jim was a key to that. And then after that, it's been my agent, Rick Gorn. He's from England, and he's had a few drivers here. He brought Jack Villeneuve over here. He still managed Jack, and it's been a tremendous support for me.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation.
Yeah. Well, we have agreement because I asked all the questions of Pat Bailey, so Molly said she got to ask all the questions assigned to me. For anybody who knows me, it was just that it's garage, you know, it's very painful for me to not speak. Very painful. She's always been the nicer person. So, what would you say is your absolute favorite moment, highlight of your career thus far? It can be, could have been a championship, could be a race moment, just, a great pass. What's been one of those moments that you're just like, I'm gonna keep that memory till the day I die?
That's a really good question. So obviously winning the championship to me was very special, but I did cry when I signed my first IndyCar contract. So I was at home, and the announcement was done. I wasn't at the announcement at first. It got announced before I had to do the press conference. And when I read the news myself, I had a little moment. So I would keep that in my memory bank forever. But what else? I think Le Mans, finishing second Le Mans, I have to say, it was tough because I could see the car that won right in front of me. And so I was crushing, especially when we led the whole race, but...
Lord, you are holy.
Yeah, that was an incredible race because it's such a long race to 24 hours. You know, there's so much emotion. And it's very similar to here. And that would always, we talked about it with Baudet last night because we were teammates in that car. And I think we talk about it every time we see each other, so it's going to be up there as well for a long time.
For us, he had supper for the last time with his disciples. He took bread, all of you. This is my
part. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. The speech was good. We are all thoroughly enjoying that. In fact, if anybody has any just bigger and tired, Simon would sign it. Simon, is there anything else you want to add? Anything? So you said last night you like to just kind of decompress with Haley and Norman and do things not related to racing. Are you similar in the on the days that you are going to run, like this morning? Do you try and kind of keep your mind free until it's go time? Is there something special you do to kind of help keep yourself calm and relaxed, or to get yourself hyped up? Maybe just music, or is there anything that you kind of have to
tell your direction?
Yeah, it's again another good question. It's the biggest thing is I do a lot of meditation to try to extract the best out of myself. I really believe that it sounds simple, but I believe that this is a body, and I believe this controls everything, right? So if I can control this better, my feet, my hands, my eyes will do a better job. So so I try to do a lot of work in preparation to visualize the situation and perfect it, and then sharpen my reaction time that way. So that's something that I do before every qualifying, every race. I need 15 minutes to myself to just put myself in the zone. And that's something that I actually really enjoy. Just being in that zone is a different world, really. It's just you, the machine, and that's it. Nothing else matters at that time. So no mails, no invoices, nothing, just that. I love it. So, everything else in life doesn't matter at that point. It's a very special moment. So, to me, that's great. And, the morning is all about, the moment I wake up, I'm thinking, how am I going to do the best I can be today?